All right, what's shaking, Red Nation? This is Jeremy Brenner with another episode of The Dream Take presented by The Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. And that was an interesting one. That's a word to describe it. A lot of good, a lot of not so good, ultimately ends up in a loss tonight. But it's not like the previous 55 losses that we've seen. I love that we can talk about this team and have something different every night. You know, obviously that's not the case every night, but tonight I think there's a lot of content to talk about, and I can't do it by myself. You guys know that. So I'm doing it with my co-pilot, Mr. Michael Brown. Mike, tough 123-120 loss to San Antonio, but we've got a lot of exciting things to talk about tonight.
Yeah, we do. I mean, first of all, it's good to have both of us on the show tonight.
Officially
yeah.
Together.
Yeah, right.
No me in the Taco Bell drive-through. No crossing paths. This is it. Yeah. You and me, we're doing the thing.
No, man, interesting game tonight. It's a little upsetting that it took, 72 games for tonight to happen? You know? Like, this game plan has been there the entire year. I don't know why it took them this long. But I mean, just a lot of good tonight, man. Jalen Green is a bona fide stud. And I do think it's important to preface the conversation you and I are about to have for the next 25-ish minutes that San Antonio is not good either outside of DeJounte Murray and Poeltl. I mean, that team is just not any good, but the Rockets did a lot of good things tonight.
Yeah. And look, the Spurs needed that game. The Spurs needed that game. So they weren't like mailing it in. That was probably, look, I don't want to say the Spurs played their best basketball tonight, but they weren't trying to, you know, mail in the season like Portland was. So it is nice to have that there. And I do think that this game shows progress within the team. And I think what I like the most about this game, Mike, is despite being down, what was it? Like, they were down double digits at halftime. I think it was 14 points, something like that.
They were down 11 and a half.
So they were down double digits at half, yet they were still in this game. And I think going into the fourth quarter, still down double digits, and they had a chance there at the very end. KJ Martin, if that ball goes zigs instead of zags, we could be watching overtime at this point.
Yeah, we very well could be. I hate the fact that Jalen Green took himself out of that final play. That's my only disparaging thing I can say about that, is that it was quick. Like, he handed the ball to KPJ. I'm sure, or I'm hopeful, that KPJ or that Green was supposed to get the ball back. But I want Jalen Green taking that shot.
I agree. Especially the way he played tonight. 6 of 15 from three.
Right.
40% from three. 10 of 24 from the field. Good for 40%. And clearly the number one option on this team. And that's the thing, is without Christian Wood tonight, without Eric Gordon tonight, without Dennis Schroeder tonight, it was clear who the top option was. And that is Jalen Green. And I think the fact that the Rockets have a guy like him makes me feel, I'll say this might come across a little bit different, but I'm just going to say it anyway. The fact that we have Jalen Green makes me feel a lot more comfortable about our draft positioning this summer, because we have our guy. Like, Jalen, if you put Jalen in this draft, I still take him number one over Paolo, Chet, and Jabari. He is the guy, and the Rockets are not going to get a player better than him in this draft. I don't know necessarily about the next draft, because there is the possibility of Wembanyama, and I do think that he might have a little bit more upside than Jalen Green, but that's not any slight on Jalen Green. That's basically saying that Victor Wembanyama is going to be like the best player in the NBA, you know, because just seeing what he's done so far in his young career. But Jalen's going to be right up there with him, challenging for that top spot in the league, I think, 5-10 years from now. And I hope he's doing it in a Rockets uniform, because he's starting to really take over that. And look, this is only year one. Imagine what we're going to see year two, year three, year four, year five. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's definitely, for me, Green has grown up the past couple weeks specifically. there was a play tonight where he went straight to the bucket on Keldon Johnson for the Spurs. And Keldon Johnson is not, he's a first, well, he was taken in the first round, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he was the 29th pick.
Jalen literally just bodied the guy and got up, you know, and Keldon Johnson had to foul him. He's not making that play in the beginning part of the year. Now, when you talk about,
no,
there's some discussion about, at this point, there's not some discussion. The discussion starts and ends with building the roster around Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün. Those are the two guys that you have to build the rest of this roster around. Now, who else is involved on that roster? It remains to be seen. There are guys that I really like that I hope that they can keep. You know, KJ Martin, Jayshon Tate. But the only two, to me, untouchable pieces on this roster currently, right now, is Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green. Those are your two guys you are building around, right? Period. End of story. I don't want to talk about where you're going to put Şengün, who you're going to play him next to. Those are the two guys you have to have as a part of your roster moving forward. The rest of the roster is up for discussion, the way I see it after these
couple. And look, I think if Kevin Porter plays like he did tonight, 26, 9, and 7, I think he's in that discussion as well. And I saw you were tweeting from the Twitter, yep, Mike, about KPJ. And I do want to talk about it tonight because obviously I think Jalen is the headliner in this game, but we shouldn't, like, for we shouldn't discredit what Kevin Porter was able to do tonight. I thought it was a pretty solid game from him. And I think, Mike, where you're coming from, I'm going to try to guess where you're coming from, and you're going to tell me how far off I am. I think with Kevin Porter, it's just the fact that it's not that he's not capable, I think he is, but it's the fact that he's not doing this on a consistent enough basis. But I also feel like with Christian Wood and Eric Gordon, that doesn't really fit his strengths. Getting a big like Şengün, who can also kind of, he can play off as like a passing guy and he can, you know, stretch the floor and things like that. I feel like Kevin Porter fits much better when Alp is out there versus Christian Wood. But what do you think about KPJ? Am I far off from your take?
Yes. I think you're about halfway there. I think, number one, the biggest thing is the wild card aspect to his game. So you're right on there. The other part is you have to ask yourself, long term, is Kevin Porter Jr. the right guy to put next to Jalen Green to help Jalen Green take his, not only Jalen Green, by the way, the rest of the starting lineup and getting the most out of them? In my opinion, it's no. And it is not a deterrent. I tweeted this tonight to keeping Kevin Porter Jr. on the roster, because if I'm the Rockets, I want KPJ a part of my roster moving forward. I want a bench brigade starting with Kevin Porter Jr. and Josh Christopher going into next season. But if I'm the Rockets, I'm looking for a guy that is a pass-first point guard, because that's not only going to help Jalen Green and focusing this offense, because right now there's too many people that they're trying to focus the offense through. When Wood is out there, Wood's a part of it. The Kevin Porter Jr. is a part of it. Jalen Green's a part of it. It needs to be the Jalen Green show, period.
How about Facu Campazzo as the point guard, Mike?
Yeah, okay. I will quit.
Zaza Teletovich in the comments on Spotify.
Yeah, I will quit. Zaza, I honestly, if they sign him or who's the other guy, Neto, to be the point guard, I will quit. No, but I'm trying to think of a good example in the league.
Right, I see now what you're saying, but here's my thing though. If you make Kevin Porter Jr. the sixth man, are you moving Josh Christopher into the starting lineup? Or is he, because I also feel like Josh Christopher is like the way that he plays, because we've seen a lot of three guard lineups lately with Porter, Green, and Christopher out there, where Christopher is kind of playing a de facto three, but like there isn't a whole lot of like structure in that threesome.
Right.
So that to me, like, I think Kevin Porter as the sixth man is an interesting idea, but will that hinder Josh Christopher? And I think the answer would be yes. I do think that if I think Christopher would be good, but I don't think Christopher would be scoring as often. And I think that I honestly think that the Rockets are going to try to get this to work with Porter, and Green. And another reason, too, why I think they really value Kevin Porter, you notice, and this is something that is like, you know, not even like a thing. Like, it could just be me making this up, but when Jonathan Sanford calls when Kevin Porter scores in a game, he goes, "Scoo!" Like, you're not doing that for just nobody, right? Like, you're not doing that for the sixth man. Like, they want him to be part of this team long term, and they're going to prove that to him when they give him his contract extension this offseason. I don't know how much that money's going to be, and that will be a topic of discussion once the season's over, but I really have a hard time seeing the Rockets give up on Kevin Porter, considering how much they have invested into him this season.
I don't think they're giving up on him. I think the part of the Sanford thing that you're
giving up on him as giving up on him as the starting point guard.
Yeah, I'm not against him being the starting point guard, but I'm just throwing it out there that it all depends on what happens in the draft, because we all know the draft is the biggest night of the year for the Rockets right now, because that's where you're really going to help build the foundation of this roster. And if the Rockets get the fourth pick in the draft, you're going to tell me that you wouldn't take a really long, hard look at Jaden Ivey from Purdue? Because I am. Because that's all I'm saying, is that if you're presented with an opportunity to upgrade your roster right now, if you're the Rockets, I don't care where it is. If there was a guy in the draft that, you know, was a can't miss shooting guard, I'm looking at that to pair with a Jalen Green. You know what I'm like? And obviously that's not going to happen, but if you ask me, you put me on a truth or a lie detector test, who would I rather have as my starting backcourt next year? Jaden Ivey and Jalen Green, or KPJ and Green? I'm taking Jaden Ivey, and it's not even close.
I'm taking KPJ and Jalen. So Ivey is oozing with talent and all that. But here's another thing too that like kind of deters me away from that. It is an interesting exercise that we're doing here, because, and I'm sure we'll do it again before the draft lottery. Hopefully we don't have to get in this point. Hopefully they do end up with the top three, and they do end up getting one of the top three. But if they were to end up at four, like in Cleveland, they had Garland, Sexton, Kevin Porter, and they drafted them all within, I think, a 2-year period. And they're like, this is going to work. And it didn't work. It only worked for Darius Garland. So that, to me, is a red flag if you're going to load up on guards. You have Christopher. You have Jaden Ivey. You have Jalen Green. You have Kevin Porter. I'm not saying that you shouldn't draft the best player available, because the Rockets, I do believe, are still in a position where they have to draft the best person available. But I also think they're probably going to try to find a way to justify, similar to how the Raptors justified taking Scottie Barnes over Jalen Suggs. That was a really unpopular pick at the time, but it's looking really popular right now. So I don't necessarily know if Jaden Ivey is the like automatic fourth best player in this draft. He could be, but I think you also have to keep in mind, well, what about Benedict Mathurin? What about Jalen Duren? What about Nikola Jovic? Like, I do think that there is the second tier of guys in this draft can be very – yeah, Keegan Murray is another guy, Desmond writes in the comments, that I think would make a lot of sense. I think he would actually fit pretty well next to Şengün. So that is like – there is an argument there for a lot of different guys. Obviously, yes, you have Jaden Ivey is an incredible talent, and the Rockets would be lucky to have him, but – at some point, you also have to build around the team. And I don't necessarily know if Jaden Ivey is exactly what the team needs, given where they currently are. I think the biggest reason why you saw Jalen and Kevin Porter shine today is because there was a clear hierarchy in how the offense was going to work. Jalen was the number one. Kevin Porter Jr. was the one, the two. And Josh Christopher was the primary scorer off the bench. And there was direction. And that we haven't really seen all season long, because we have, Wood needs his touches. Kevin Porter needs his touches. Jalen needs his touches. Eric Gordon needs his touches. So there is that sense of, yes, like draft the best player available and go from there. But now that the Rockets have their best player available, they should look into building around Jaylen. And I feel like they have Kevin Porter. It's worth a shot for at least one more year to really figure this out, especially considering the fact that you're probably going to extend him. That's another thing, too, is like, if they weren't going to extend him, then yeah, it makes a lot more sense to go get a guy like Jaden Ivey. But they're going to extend him. Like, it's like,
well, yeah. Well, I also think, I think a big part of the conversation you have to look at as well is that you also are going to have the Brooklyn pick, which is going to be more than likely in that 16 to 21 range. You got to look at your board and you have to think to yourself, you got to get a big man. I mean, period, end of story. You have to get a defensive-minded big man in this draft.
I'll be honest, Mike. Here's a hot take. Don't be surprised if the Rockets trade out of that pick.
Yeah.
They basically say, Usman Garuba, you're our guy. Because that's another thing, too, is because they have so many picks.
It depends on how they use them, though.
Some guys are going to get left behind. And Garuba is the likeliest of those guys to fall behind because we're already saying, you know, he had kind of a lost year. He got to play tonight. I thought he looked okay tonight. He looked like a guy that hadn't played in a while. But, you know, he definitely could have been a lot worse. I'll say that. But that's another thing, too. We really haven't given Garuba a whole lot of a run yet, a whole lot of a shot yet. And we're already saying we need a big man. And, you know, you're going to have that guy competing with Garuba for minutes. And there's no guarantee that the 16th pick in the draft or whatever is going to be better than Garuba, who's been in the NBA for a year and knows the Rockets better and all of that. So to me,
but Garuba is not what I'm talking about, though, Jeremy.
But Garuba is a defensive minded guy.
But he's not what this team needs. He's a defensive minded forward. He's not a center. He's not a defensive minded center. Okay, I'll give you a perfect example, right? Tell me if this hits, because I think it does. I'm talking about Dikembe Mutombo, not Carl Landry.
Okay.
That's what Garuba is. Garuba, if he's lucky, is a Carl Landry type.
Chuck Hayes. That to me is kind of what I would think. Build Garuba into is a guy like Chuck Hayes who can be a
more
forward-minded center.
Yeah. Forward-minded,
I see what you're saying. Yes.
You know, Garuba, I'm thinking about Garuba guarding guys like I'm trying to think of a good example. Like Garuba, you could put on a guy like a Julius Randle. We need a guy that you can stick on an Embiid or an Ayton. Like Garuba is not going to play with those guys.
But also, it's going to be really hard to get a rookie to do that.
For sure. It depends on who it is. You know,
I don't know if you're going to get that guy with the 16th pick in the draft. You know what I'm saying? In a class that isn't as strong as last year's was. That's what I'm saying. Like Garuba, if you put Garuba in this draft class, I think he goes before pick 16. So that's another thing to keep in mind. And you want to give as many of these guys opportunities. And another reason too, why you trade out of that pick is you trade it for a future first and that 2024 year where the pick goes to Oklahoma City again. Like you want to have a pick that year. That's kind of what I'm thinking is you trade back to 23 and then you have an extra pick in 23. And then you take one of the picks in 23 and you trade it back to 24. And then you have that extra pick in 24 that you might not get the better of with that OKC pick swap or whatever that is. That's like my thought process behind it. It could happen. Probably won't just because there's a whole lot of moving parts to it. I do agree with you. They need a rim protector. And I don't think Garuba is that guy. But given how the Rockets have been operating, they haven't played traditional centers. I wouldn't call Wood a traditional center. I wouldn't call Şengün a traditional center. And the thing is, they drafted Şengün and Garuba together. So maybe the plan is to play them together. We haven't really seen Şengün and Garuba play together, mainly because I think they both see them as the Rockets see them both as fives. Right. But I am curious to see what a lineup would look like with Garuba and Şengün. The only problem is, though, is if you're playing both of them, then where are you going to play KJ Martin? And KJ Martin, in my opinion, has made the most growth from when he was drafted. Obviously, he's had a second year, So there's that. But T.J. Martin, the way he's been playing for the past month, is like, how are we ever going to get rid of this guy?
Well, I'll give you a wild lineup that I would be dying to see. It would be KPJ, Green, KJ Martin, Garuba, and Shingun. That's the lineup that...
But without Jayshon Tate.
Okay. I mean, look, KJ at this point, I know you and I talked about this at the beginning of the year. KJ has the higher ceiling than Tate.
I agree.
So for me, that type of lineup is what I want to see. But I'll give you a really, really hot take, and you may shut it down real quick. But I'll tell you a guy to watch and why the Rockets may not use that Brooklyn pick. If I'm Raphael Stone, I'm calling Sacramento and saying, what do you want for De'Aaron Fox? That's what I'm talking about, is that reaction that you just had right there is why you, if you are the Rockets, do whatever you can do. They've already shut him down for the season. You call Sacramento and say, name your price. We're open for business. What do you want for De'Aaron?
I feel like they'd want too much for him.
I mean, what's too much?
Like 3 first-round picks. That's too much for me, Mike. It really is.
If you get, well, I mean, that's on the brink for me.
And another reason why I say 3 first-round picks is because Sacramento would probably never deal him. They had a choice between him and Halliburton. And Halliburton, who they were really high on, well, I guess not really, because they traded him. But, like, they made that choice already. Like, they could have easily gone and traded Fox and had Halliburton as their starting point guard for the future. But they're invested in the De'Aaron Fox, like, way down the line. So I really don't see that happening. I also think, like, the Rockets are not in that position yet to really buy and go for a team and, like, go use these picks to go and trade yet. I feel like we're maybe probably 2 years down the line from thinking about that happening, probably 2024, end of that season. You look at where the Rockets are. If you're not in the play-in yet, maybe you try to make a play for the play-in, because then you've got Jalen probably looking for an extension soon. Shengun, you're going to need an extension soon. And, you know, you want to be able to capitalize on what you got. But at this point, the way that I see it is the Rockets are rolling with who they got right now. And I think a game like tonight, to kind of bring it back to the game at hand, it shows you that this vision can work with a little bit more seasoning and a little bit more time. I really do think that this team can work out with the core that they played tonight. Get one more high 2022 pick, maybe one more high 2023 pick, and then everything will start to come together. If they draft those picks and they hit and they are complements to the current stage of where the Rockets are. And I do think that they can get to that. Obviously, Kevin Porter is the biggest question mark in this group, probably, and whether Shengun can play the 4 or the 5. But I am assuming that the Rockets do end up getting a big in this draft. But I am curious to see how Usman Garuba plays in this scenario, how KJ Martin plays into this scenario. And it's something that we're going to find out. And we're going to have a lot of offseason to talk about. But I think when it comes to the rest of this regular season, the Rockets showed tonight that even though they don't have anything to play for, and yes, there's the whole tank word, which I hate using, but it's, you know, the Rockets have every reason to be shutting it down. You got Sacramento shutting it down, Portland shutting it down, Oklahoma City, all of that. And yet they're still out here trying to play spoiler to the Spurs, which I can appreciate that. So that's what I hope to see in the last 6 games, is the same effort. Hopefully a little bit more experimental with guys like Garuba and Nix. Hopefully we can see more good games from guys like Josh Christopher. Maybe we can see a career high from Jalen Green before the season's over. Love to see that. I don't know if we're going to get a career high from Kevin Porter, but if we can get another 30-point game from Scoot, maybe an exciting moment where they win on a game winner or something like that, that'd be pretty cool. But that's the thing. We're not going to have a whole lot of Rockets basketball to talk about after 13 days from now. So let's make the most of it in these last 4 games. All right, I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship. Now, thank you guys so much for tuning in this episode of The Dream Take. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at DreamShakeSBN. Head to our website, thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets, on SBNation.com. We'll be back on Wednesday for another episode of the Dream Take. And we got the Kings. We got the Kings on deck. Two games with the Kings at home before the season wraps up. Mike, one key for Wednesday.
Youth and movement, baby. Move without the ball. Youth and movement. Move without the ball. Play the youth. Let them gel. I want to see Garuba. I want to see KPJ, Green, all the young guys. Sit the vets. Let them get their offseason started early and let the young guns run.
And tell the listeners how they can follow you on Twitter.
BSW Podcast underscore MB.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets!